Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Now, you're very welcome back. So we're talking Formula One, where the young upstart speedster is so far holding off the older living legend in the Drivers' Championship. We are talking about Max Verstappen of Red Bull, who is 12 points clear of Lewis Hamilton of Mercedes, 12 points clear with five races to go. Very happy to welcome John Watson to the show, a man who's been there and done it in a Formula One car. John, evening.
Good evening.
Great to have you with us. Always appreciate your time. So let's just, as a jumping off point then, take the US Grand Prix at the weekend. 140,000 spectators at the track in Austin, Texas, and they watched Max Verstappen come in 1.3 seconds ahead of Hamilton. This was talked about, John, as a fascinating tactical race. You might explain this to us in more layman's terms, but in effect, it all came down to the tyres. And Verstappen, after losing pole position, he was overtaken. Red Bull made a decision to stop early on lap 10 and change tyres. You might just explain what they were trying to do here and why they pulled this off and why it worked so well.
Well, I don't know why they chose to do what they did, but obviously they felt that that was the right time to come in, make their pit stop. And I think it caught Mercedes slightly unawares. They didn't react immediately. They kept Lewis out. And one might say, and I'm saying one might say, that the consequence of that judgment was the reason why Lewis Hamilton, who at the end of the race was the quicker of the two drivers, make no mistake about that, but wasn't in a position to challenge Max Verstappen before the checkered flag came out. And that was a race that was won as much by Max Verstappen as it was by his team in the pit lane, or in fact back at Milton Keynes, monitoring precisely what was going on. I mean, that's what Formula One is about. It's not any longer about a driver, a car, and a racetrack. It's about a team of people, a large team of people, who, in a sense, you might say, consolidated their pole position by taking victory.
Can you give us a sense or a timeline as to when that shift has really happened, that team of people?
I think that over the course of the season, if you look back at all the races where Verstappen has lost points, one should say that he should be well in the lead of the championship. Mm. Think about Silverstone, the collision between Hamilton and Verstappen. Think about Monza, the collision. Okay, at Monza, neither driver scored, but at Silverstone, Lewis Hamilton clawed back 25 points, which brought him back into... I mean, at that point, one might say that the championship was all done and dusted in favour of Verstappen.
And is
that collision led to Hamilton gaining back 25 points, put him back at the races. And Hamilton, make no mistake, is an outstanding competitor. Mercedes is an outstanding team. But in Austin at the weekend, I think that Red Bull did the smarter deal and they got the victory.
And generally, I guess we're talking about a team which have been dominant, so I suspect they are very good in all fronts. But would you have had any quibbles about Mercedes when it comes to tactics previously?
I think you look at all the races and analyse them, and you can say at one race one team did a better job than the other. There were races early in the season where Mercedes did an outstanding job, I think maybe Barcelona. And then likewise, you can say Red Bull, you know, got the advantage and maintained that advantage. So it's ebb and flow pretty much right now through the championship. I think ultimately what we have seen is the evolution of Max Verstappen as not just a quick racing driver, but a driver who is probably the preeminent world champion for 2021.
Mm. Can you compare these two as drivers then for us?
You've got the maturity of Lewis Hamilton. You've got that experience, 7 times world champion. You can't buy that. You've got to earn it. You've got Max, who is the young pretender, who is all about just excitement, speed, courage, sometimes foolhardiness, pig-headedness even. But once he begins to smooth out all those areas and understands, and it's understanding winning your first world championship will be pivotal for Max Verstappen. Once he has achieved that, then he can go on, and I'm assuming that he'll stay at Red Bull, although there's stories in the trade right now that maybe at some point he will move to Mercedes. But let's say, assuming he stays at Red Bull and Red Bull can maintain the advantages that they've currently got. And of course, remember, their Honda engine is going to be branded as a Red Bull engine. We're not quite sure what that'll mean in the future. Continuity, consistency, cutting out errors, mistakes, metronomic driving, all those things are now, with a 23-race calendar in 2022, you know, it's not about being lucky, it's about being consistent and not making errors.
Do you detect any decline in Hamilton's driving?
Not really. The difference is Lewis has done it for such a long time. Remember, he came in 2007. We're now in 2021. You do the maths. He's been around a long time. I don't know how he's managed to be there for so many years, year in, year out. He's got a lifestyle on the one hand, which is that of a world champion. On the other, he's a fashion icon. He's a music impresario. He's got lifestyles which are almost contradictory to that of being a Formula One world champion, and he's able to balance it. And I think that is remarkable because he has done so for quite a long time. And, okay, he's been in the best car in this hybrid turbo era, but he's consolidated that other than for 1 year, 2016, where his teammate won the championship. He's just been metronomic. I use that word, metronomic. He's been metronomic, and he understands and he knows what it takes to win. And he's always driven, I felt, within himself. He's never had to extend himself to the level where now, in 2021, he's now having to go into areas which he maybe only explored back in his early career.
Mm. Which of the two has the better car this season?
Ooh, that's a difficult one, because both have been very strong at different times. Right now, I would say the performance that I saw in Austin, in terms of one lap qualifying, the Red Bull had the pace. In the race, certainly the latter part of the race, the Mercedes was the stronger car. But having gained the upper ground by having got into the lead via strategy and pit stops, it gave Max the opportunity to consolidate. Did a fantastic job in doing so. The team never believed in reality that he was going to be able to sustain that lead and hold off Hamilton, who was coming every lap, was taking 1, 2, 3 tenths of a second out of his advantage. And that showed the character of a young guy who undoubtedly at some point will be a world champion. It might be this year, it might be in the future, but right now with the next two Grand Prix coming up in Mexico and Brazil, circuits that I think probably favour Red Bull, maybe above Mercedes, the last three, we don't know. It's now put up or shut up for Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton. They've got to find a way to stem the performance, the momentum that Max Verstappen has got. How they will do that, I don't know. It's going to require a superhuman effort from Lewis Hamilton in particular. He needs to beat, in the next two races, he's got to beat Max Verstappen, put him back in his box. And then we go into the final three races in the Middle East. You've got Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and, of course, the first Grand Prix in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Racetracks in the Middle East which may not favour one over the other, but the next two would probably be more favourable, in my view, to Red Bull, and that's where Mercedes have got to strike. They've got to get in there. They've got to do something that's going to contain Red Bull and Max Verstappen.
So it sounds like we're enjoying an extraordinary championship then, if you have two drivers who are well matched and we have two cars which are well matched and two very sophisticated teams behind them. And you've said this has ebbed and flowed all year. I think we're at Verstappen 8 wins and Hamilton 5 wins. So this, would you characterise this as a brilliant championship?
It's been a championship that Lewis Hamilton has wanted for a long time. Winning as he has won over previous seasons, where he's not really, really been challenged. The only challenge has come from his own teammates. This year, he's got a real challenge, and I think he appreciates that. He is enjoying it. He would enjoy it a lot more if he's in the lead of the championship, but make no mistake, he's going to respond. He will, whatever it's going to take, he will drive Mercedes and himself to, to higher levels, and that sounds hard to believe. He's going to do that because he will not want to lose an 8th world championship, because if he's going to go into the next year, 2022, and start cranking it all back up again, It's a lot harder than trying to nail it this year.
Would you consider this a golden age for drivers, as in the standard of driving that we're seeing, or how do you rate what's on show at the moment, John?
Well, you've got two great drivers right now, and then you've got a lot of other drivers. And I mean, one of my favourite drivers is Danny Ricciardo. He's had a pretty awful season, with the exception of Monza, the Italian Grand Prix, which he won. He had a great race at the weekend in Austin. There are a number of other outstanding drivers around, but I don't know. People big up Charles Leclerc. He did a very good job in his initial years in Ferrari, but I'm not quite sure whether he's the real deal or not, and whether we're looking forward to George Russell, another Brit, Lando Norris, who has had, a stellar season. I'm not persuaded totally, because just certain elements about him I find maybe a little bit, I hate to use the word, but immature. That's about his personality and character. He's driven extremely well this year. But I would like to see what Daniel Ricciardo can do in that McLaren, which has been a very strong car. Arguably, McLaren, Ferrari are vying for third in the Manufacturers' Championship. And again, that's going to go down to the wire.
Mm. There were 140,000 US fans at the track in Austin. So extraordinary popularity, extraordinary attendance. Have you noticed or detected the Drive to Survive effect on the support on the sport?
You know what? I've never watched that program. I don't know why. It's escaped me. But clearly, I think in North America, I think that the Drive to Survive and whatever else has gone on, they call it promotion of Formula One away from the racetrack itself, away from an event itself, has done a great deal to inspire almost American audiences. Look, I remember going to Watkins Glen in the early 70s, and you had a massive crowd going to Watkins Glen. It was more like Woodstock does Formula One. And what I saw at the weekend was just, for me, outstanding. I thought the Grand Prix, to me, was the highlight of the year so far. 140,000 people present. Just was magical. And everybody seemed to be elevated by what was happening. It was almost as if it was magic dust fell on Austin. It was just a remarkable Grand Prix. I think the American audiences saw a very, very good Grand Prix. They saw the two title challengers fighting for the world championship, fighting for victory. They like that. American audiences like people that get in. They don't want to watch boring metronomic domination. They want to see competitors. It's like the American Open Tennis. You go to Flushing Meadows or whatever it's now called, and you see two people, two gladiators on a tennis court. Well, you're two gladiators at the weekend on a racetrack, and they were going at it. And that's what American audiences love in their sport. And they were served up a great Grand Prix.
Because it's interesting when you talked about, you know, the scientists almost and the engineers back at Milton Keynes making the decisions. And I don't know how long that's been the case, probably a number of years. I was sort of trying to ask you that when I asked about the timeline. But you don't want that side of the sport ever to come to dominate. You still want it to be two gladiators testing my skills against your skills, and it to be about nerve and speed and overtaking, and not about who's making the best decisions in Milton Keynes.
Well, unfortunately, that's where the sports have evolved too. I mean, you're not going to go back to the era when I was racing, or others in Formula Eddie Irvine, even up until the late 90s, early 20th century. In my era, you had a set of tires for the race. You had a full tank of fuel. The flag went dropped, or the lights went out, whichever it was. And you did your race duration on one set of tires with a load of fuel on board, with somebody in the pit wall handing out a pit board to tell you your positions with a plus or a minus. We are not going back to that level of technology. Where we are now is in the space age of Formula One. So we have to accept it and adapt to it and acknowledge it, and that's where it is. And in terms of what a driver does, he's given a huge amount of information, both from within the cockpit of the car, about what's going on in the car, but likewise, he's got, it's just so much, it's almost like an information overload. In fact, I think some of the drivers, when they've got so much information, they almost want to, I mean, people like, let's say, Kimi Raikkonen, who's a driver an old school driver by today's standards. He just wants to get on and drive the race car.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily want to have all this assist coming from somebody, and in his case in Switzerland, or in the case of Max Verstappen in Red Bull, in Milton Keynes, or on the pit lane. It is how it is. It's not going to change. It's part of the reason why we have such an escalation in costs in Formula One.
Yes, I can imagine. So, final word, who's going to win the championship?
I would say at the minute it looks like Max Verstappen.
Mm.
I hope it goes down to the wire. I hope that in the last Grand Prix of the season, it's a battle between the two drivers on the front row of the grid, whether it's into turn one on the opening lap or into the last turn on the final lap. But at the minute, the momentum for me seems to be swinging more towards what Red Bull have done and what they have, and particularly the next upcoming races. They've got to consolidate that. And if they can consolidate those two events, then they've got a different position to then defend for the final three. And make no mistake, both are Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, truly outstanding competitors and race drivers. Mm. And I just hope that the stupidities that we've seen on those two occasions at Silverstone and at Monza are not a part of what ends up deciding this year's World Championship.
John Watson, great to have you on. Thanks so
Pleasure.
Much. Cheers.